Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday. And we are going to be talking this hour about arts in schools, arts and creativity in education in the state of Wisconsin with Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. They have put together a 36-member task force that was appointed in March of 2008 by State Superintendent Elizabeth Burmaster and Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, charged with examining state-level policies and local practices to determine their impact on the scope and access to quality arts education opportunities in Wisconsin. And so we'll be talking about how it is that the arts have a potential effect on student achievement and engagement in school. We will talk about how we revitalize our arts education programs and give creativity throughout the curriculum, how to pay for this, and how to make sure that we get these kinds of programs all over the state. We've heard a great deal that because of standardized testing, arts have been flowing by the wayside, that we need more money to learn matters that are going to be on the test, and as a result, don't have as much dancing and singing and theater and bands and all of that. So the recommendations, what we'll hear about, where programs are thriving in Wisconsin, some special programs that will be set up as a result of this, and we'll welcome your phone calls for Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And if you'd like to send an email, you can send us one of those at talk@wpr.org. There may be some pockets of brilliance going on in the creative fields in some of the schools that we're talking to this morning. And if you'd like to tell us about how you were able to really make the arts flourish, we would love to hear about that. So that's talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, hello. Thank you so much for being with us today. Hello? Oh, hello?
Hi.
There we go. Thank you so much for being with us today.
My privilege. I'm delighted. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, this started some time ago. Were you worried that arts were starting to descend in schools and it made you start the task force, or why did it get rolling?
Well, it was very interesting. Superintendent Burmaster and I were working on sort of parallel paths. I came to this both as Lieutenant Governor because I'm always looking at and focusing on economic development strategies that will reach statewide and ways that we can address our most pervasive and very soon most urgent challenge, which is meeting workforce demand with enough people with the kind of preparation that they need to have, and looking at ways that we make investments that are likely to pay increasing returns over the life of the investment, and that's the definition of it, of public education. As chair of the Arts Board, we have the Arts Board with our partners really moved to front and center as a driving force in the economy and communities and in the commerce of our state. And work we did led me to a national policy roundtable where I was invited as the only elected official in the United States to team up with some CEOs of corporations and foundations and address the question, thinking creatively and competing globally, the role of the arts in building the 21st century American workforce. Libby Burmaster, our state superintendent at the same time, was convening people around the questions of 21st century skills and what do our students need to be able to be productive and competitive and achieve their potential, and that we know that we need them to do. And when you consider this extraordinary time in which we live, if we think about what children need and think about that a couple years ago, the former Secretary of Education, Richard Riley, told us that the top 10 jobs that will be in demand in 2010 didn't exist in 2004.
Oh, my.
Yeah, or that a week's worth of New York Times contains more information than a person came across in a lifetime in the 18th century. Mm. But more extraordinary is that the amount of new technical information is doubling every 2 years. It's predicted to double every 72 years by 2010. So when we think about schools that were designed sort of around a factory model and designed for mastery of knowledge. That is now very outdated and anachronistic because there's no hope to master knowledge that is being generated at that speed. What we need is to help develop, when you think about the fact that there is what you can know in the mastery of knowledge, and your creative capacities allow you to navigate the unknown. And so what we really need to do is to develop the creative capacities of all of our children, and all of them have that. And the arts are uniquely effective in doing it, but they aren't the only way. And so this task force was to address the role of the arts and creativity in education in Wisconsin, because we are looking for, Wisconsin has always been a leader in top-level public education, but now we know that we really need to transform our schools, and we need to work against the grain of the what has been happening under No Child Left Behind, is that schools, under the pressure of the tests that are just in two areas and standardized tests that do not test children's creative capacities and capacity to identify problems as well as solve them, curriculums have been shrinking, and people have considered the arts to be enrichment instead of core curriculum. And we need to put it back at the center and then look at how we integrate the development of creativity across disciplines so that our children become intellectually agile.
And when you talk about developing creativity, are we looking at a whole new field? It wouldn't be courses, or maybe dance or art?
Yeah, this is a way that we teach. We are talking about, yes, helping teachers develop new skills. Now, when we're talking about creativity, we are then, I think, having to acknowledge that we are looking more toward individualized education, mm-hmm. which is the direction of the best practices now anyway, and has been for some time, for decades. But we're talking about the way we teach and what we measure and the outcomes that we're looking for, and being more cognizant of what actually is needed for children to succeed today. You know, think about Silicon Valley, or if we think about the integration of arts and science, which is so important. We talk about putting STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. If we put the arts in the middle of that, we turn STEM into STEAM, and then you have real energy. And Steve Jobs' brilliant design of the Macintosh was a marriage of design and science. Or thinking about, as we think about the work of this task force, the Silicon Valley, where all of this extraordinary development of new technology happened, Silicon Valley wasn't brought in on semis. It grew there. And they developed a workforce that attracted more talent to come to it. And that's precisely what we need to do in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And can you identify for me the kinds of talent that you're looking for? Are you looking for spatial talent that you would get through dance? I'm a little confused.
All kinds of talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of our task force members, Bill Mortimore, is the president of the Information Technology Association in Wisconsin. They're very worried about meeting workforce demands in the IT field. And you might suspect that they wish they had more people majoring in computer science, but he said, actually, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people who, and this came across to us at our public hearings around the state from other employers and CEOs of businesses, is we're not looking for creative problem solvers at the first level. We want people who have the creativity to identify them, to envision what the challenge is, so that then we can create the path to move through and solve it. And in the IT field, he said, just give me a very bright person with a solid liberal education background who's intellectually agile, and I can give them the technical training, because, of course, the technical training is changing so quickly that at the pace that it is going, students starting a four-year college degree for those students, half of what they learn in their first year of study will be outdated by their third year of study. So this is, you know, we have to be ready to have our kids do this. And one of the things that's so important about this, that I'm going to name drop here, and I hope you'll forgive me. That policy roundtable, Thinking Creatively and Competing Globally, the Role of the Arts in Building the 21st Century American Workforce, that was convened by Americans for the Arts and Robert Redford. And it was convened at his Sundance Preserve. And he is so invested in addressing this because he tells the story about being kind of taught all through school that he was not a talented person and that he had no particular gifts and that he was really quite marginalized in the educational system and thought to have no potential until he got into an arts classroom. Now, this is a man who isn't simply a good actor. He's an extraordinary businessman. And so what his passion is and mine is as well, is that we're just simply not such a wealthy state or nation that we can allow talent to fall into the margins because we're not smart enough to develop it. And whether we, and in the state of Wisconsin, I would start in the central city of Milwaukee and move out, is that we can't have any of those children not giving us their best stuff. And we need to find the way to develop their creative capacity. Somebody showed me the numbers, actually Ken Robinson, Sir Ken Robinson, the internationally renowned expert on creativity, spoke to a Creative Wisconsin Summit last Friday in Madison. And he showed numbers where they found a way to measure a person's creative genius. And like you do an IQ test for certain a certain kind of cognitive knowledge, they found a way to measure that. And when they measured that, a grade of 7 or over was considered genius in that realm of creativity. When they did it, tested children aged 3 to 5, 80-some percent of them were geniuses.
Oh my.
By the time they were 15, it was fewer than 10%. We educated it out of them.
How? How did we do that?
Well, we do it in lots of ways, don't we? We don't. We ask them to become a norm that is not them. And we don't explore. You know, sometimes one of the challenges of a more individualized education is going to give us access to individual talent, right? And some people are ready to learn math for 6 straight months doing nothing else because they're onto something. Even your very young children, and if you're willing to move with that, children stay with it and their passion for learning it just explodes and they connect new things, etc. We'd have to look at the way we have designed our schools and all of the curriculum, whether you're talking about physics or history. There's across disciplines, we can integrate the a way of developing children's creative capacities and integrate arts and cultural understanding because all of those studies need a grounding in that, and we will do better by our children.
But you have to look at some basic concerns here, don't you, about how you structure a school if you're going to allow that passion to flourish. And
absolutely.
Yeah,
but we are at a moment where we better be talking about how our schools are structured. We know they're an anachronism, whether you listen to Bill Gates or Sir Ken Robinson or any other. There's a Mark Tucker, who is the lead author on a book that we all ought to read called Tough Times, Tough Choices, that talks about how our school system is failing our children, but means that our economy slides way down and our prospects as a leader cannot be sustained in the way that we are educating our children. And we're working against one of the things that's interesting to me, when we spoke with employers and business leaders, they say that the biggest shortfall when they're looking for employees is their incapacity. They're looking for people who are better able to integrate knowledge across disciplines. And for them, creativity is more important than technical training. And then on the other hand, they struggle with the notion of creativity. It seems soft to them. And our message is to them that innovation is the output of creativity. And we all are talking about the fact that this state and nation's economy, where we're outsourcing jobs from outdated industries, the way that we reboot for the 21st century is by innovating. And innovating is the output of creativity. And creativity and through the arts introduces a discipline and a rigor and a learning how to have a bold vision.
Mm-hmm. And do we have enough teachers? Have we recruited them, considering the fact this is not the path we've been on for some time? Are there people out there who can show us this creative way?
Oh, we have lots of wonderful teachers who can show us this creative way. And there are teachers of teachers, professors in the field of education who are developing very wise pedagogy in this area. But what we really need to do is, I think, as we think about how we transform our schools to better address what our children need to develop and learn for a 21st century life and economy, is we need to remember that the most important job is teaching them, and rethink how we address the profession of teaching and really professionalize it.
By doing what to it?
Well, by paying them adequately and by holding it in a different space. And this is going to be a thorny issue that will have to be a collaborative effort of all of us with the teachers union that has developed in a way to protect the people who teach our children, because quite frankly, Kathleen, traditionally it was women's work and it was underpaid and
sure,
blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of work to be done to bring it to this level, and now we have to go to another level.
Mm-hmm. We're going to welcome phone calls for Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, and we'll take them in just one moment. She's been leading a Wisconsin task force on arts and creativity in education that started in March of 2008 with examining state-level policies and local practices to determine their impact on the scope and access to quality arts education programs in Wisconsin, to develop recommendations for strengthening arts and creativity education in Wisconsin. They conducted 9 public forums. They reviewed the status of arts education in Wisconsin and research done by experts in the field, and made some determinations that the arts have a potent effect on student achievement and engagement in school. They'd like to see them integrated in all classes. And they also believe that there will be a competitive edge in a global economy if you have students who are well prepared as a result of this kind of education to think boldly and work innovatively with that risk-taking confidence of an entrepreneur. What do you think? And then we contrast that with the stories we've been hearing about what's been happening with this kind of programming in the state. It has not fared well, I don't believe, because we've been concentrating on teaching to tests. Here's our number, 1-800-486-8655. Sometimes you just do it too many times. 1-800-486-8655. If you are going to send us an email, that's talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. Our guest, we're happy to have the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, Barbara Lawton, is with us, and we'll be taking your calls in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now for the Lieutenant Governor, and let's start with Alan, who's calling us from Fish Creek. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hello, Barbara.
Alan.
Hi, this is Alan Kapischke from your neck of the woods up here in northeast Wisconsin.
Yes.
First off, I want to say congratulations. I've only had a chance to skim through the report, but I really appreciate your shining a light on this and establishing some recommendations and some metrics for getting some progress made in this area.
Thank you.
The question I have for you, I want to preface by saying I had a lot of enjoyment and got a lot out of my involvement in sports in school, and I see some value in it, but I see so much more value in what we can bring in the arts. And I wonder if you see any obstacles in getting the attention of administrators, teachers, parents, students, who very often want to put more attention and more resources towards sports than the arts.
Well, one of the things that you point out, Alan, is that in a time of scant resources, we set up unfortunate sense of competition. And as I had noted before, with the No Child Left Behind and a sense of scant resources for public education and a punitive sort of way of approaching performance on those standardized tests, curriculums begin to shrink. I don't think that the arts and sports need to be weighed against each other. I mean, we have lots of difficult decisions that will be made in school districts across the state this year, as we don't know quite what we'll be able to do yet in terms of helping them with their budgets. But what we're talking about here in centering the arts back as core curriculum, but then also, and this is most important, is developing the way to incorporate creativity, integrate that across the development of creativity and creative capacities across curriculum and across disciplines. This isn't like having an adding extra sports teams or worrying about extracurriculars or even adding in that sense to the curriculum. It's simply rethinking the curriculum. So it doesn't, in that sense, have to be added expense. What we do, you know, what may imply added expense is where school districts have pared down their offerings. And we did get a included, I think, on our website, which is creativewisconsin.gov, is you can access a report that was commissioned to assess the status of access to arts education in Wisconsin across the state in the K-12 system. We got a district-by-district look, and it's uneven, and that's a big issue. But what we didn't get was a school-building-by-school-building look, and that's the next data that needs to be collected because there can be tremendous unevenness within a district as well. So I don't think that it has to, that we need to say that we're going to either address, we're either going to offer our children opportunity in the arts or in sports. These are larger, one is we're talking about central to the curriculum. If you're talking about co-curricular activities, that's a big category, and but it's also a budget category as well.
I think you make a great point. And the focus on using the arts in every classroom, you know, we do that so well in the early grades.
Right. Yes.
Kindergartners and the first and second graders do that so much, and it's so effective. It's a shame that we get away from that.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan.
So you think it should be continued all the way through 12th grade?
Oh, it must be. And actually, when we think about it, to develop creative capacities, opportunities for arts learning and development of those capacities have to begin pre-K, and they need to continue through higher education, Kathleen, and in the community and in the workplace, which gives added value and importance to the arts and culture industry in our lives and in our communities, because they continue to help us breed bolder, more visionary thinking, help us move ideas at a faster pace through. And this is very important. I mean, even if you go to MIT, their engineers for 40 years have been required to take courses in the arts and humanities because they will be better engineers.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Greg from Woodruff. Hi, Greg.
Hello. I have a case of Wisconsin bronchitis, so bear with me here. I would like to make a couple of points if I can. One, I have a grade school and a middle school child, and we have arts programs available. But what concerns me is that let me give an example. Both of my kids used to love to draw and were very spontaneous and thrilled by their own efforts. And that lasted until they encountered art class, when all of a sudden the drawing had to be done of a specific object with a specific artistic approach. There was a right approach and a wrong approach.
Greg, do you remember the old Harry Chapin song? The roses are red, the sky is blue. I mean, this is, unfortunately, too common.
Yeah, I've seen that happen. Not only, you know, they took music classes and they were often shown movies.
Mm-hmm.
They took writing assignments become just one more chore. And I don't think that is, you know, I'm as concerned as you are about the availability of the arts, but that's not the only question to me, is how are they taught? Are they
right,
taught
and by whom are they taught to? Are they taught by teachers who are licensed in that area or not? Which is a very big question, because we find that in many areas children are being taught in the arts by people who are not licensed in that area, which is part of budget accommodations.
Yeah, and in our case, I don't think the licensure was a problem, but in a broader sense too, I think we are talking about flexibility and agility and fluidity and creativity, and yet the very format of the school, where there's an 8-to-3 schedule every day, where the kids are exposed only or primarily to kids their very same age, where they work with one teacher or a small group of teachers, seems to me to be not a way of fostering fluidity, as opposed to an approach that might be something like the Jewish communal approach of, I think it's called a kibbutz, where kids might instead be required to attend school a certain number of hours per week, where all teachers are teachers of all students.
Mm-hmm. There's actually some very interesting examples right in our state that are wiser than that. One was a school my children attended in Green Bay, a public school that was, quote, alternative at the time, and we're talking about 25 years ago, I suppose, 30 years ago when Amanda started, where it was all of the classes were had more than one grade in it. So they were all like a first, second, or a second, third. There were no single year classrooms. And all of the children were taught at their own pace. It was very individualized instruction. And it was a different sort of respect for the need for that kind of fluidity, and it was very successful. I never had a morning where the children didn't want to go to school, but we struggled and fought every year for, I bet, 10 years before it was accepted as a permanent fixture in the school, and now much of what they were doing is considered best practices in the classroom. But so these models are there, but what has happened is we're testing for the wrong things. And one of the recommendations of this task force is to revise our assessments and our standards. And we won't change a system unless we change our expectations for it.
Well, you would have to take on the whole No Child Left Behind Act in order to do this, wouldn't you?
And it's up for reauthorization, as
right.
you know. And we have a president about to assume office who has a profound interest both in public education and understanding of the importance of the pre-K work, which we have to attach to this, by the way. The early care and childhood education really is definitional for a child and whether or not they will reach their potential and whether or not they will be as productive as they can be for us. And that is an important time. But Barack Obama has been a big proponent of that. And he also is the only of the two presidential candidates, he was one who put forward a platform for the arts and culture. And I have, in fact, been in touch with his transition chair. Bill Ivey is the former head of the National Endowment for the Arts under Bill Clinton. And they And I have been talking to him about a variety of things, including expanding the definition of infrastructure in the economic stimulus package to include organizations and facilities of the arts and culture industry, but also to look for models for investment in education that will lead us to the workforce development we need.
Well, that's interesting. So do you anticipate that there will be an opening, a flourishing of creativity as a result of...
I think that we will have, you know, I feel that changes in education start at the top always, and they will be led by a president and or they will be led by governors and lieutenant governors. And that is just where the push and the pull must come from. We have had information available to us for some time now that ought to burden us and make us feel the urgency of making the kinds of changes in this system of education. And as I noted, the city of Milwaukee is working with grants from Bill Gates, who is looking at certain models. But we that tough choices, tough times is the people who wrote that report for us that examined our education system as it is and what it needs to be. They're now working with, they've announced three states, and I think they have three or four more, who have, on a bipartisan fashion, the legislature and the governor have agreed that they are going to begin the transformation of their school system. We need to get into that queue.
Let's go next. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go next to Todd from Minocqua. Hi, Todd.
Hello. Thank you. I would just like to say, in regards to the arts, I think you're right on, and I would encourage you to look at the Waldorf schools and what they're doing. But I have just 2 points I want to make about education and teacher pay. And that is, I live in northern Wisconsin, and at a time when the economy is bad and the general wages for people are going down, I would argue that our teachers do very well comparatively, and I have 100% respect for teachers and what they do. Education is an absolute imperative in a democracy, and I don't think we have enough of it, and things detract from it like the internet and cell phones and whatnot, but if you look at the pay for the area, the average pay, I'm a professional in the area but not a teacher, although I come from a family of teachers, and our teachers do very well pay and benefit-wise compared to what other professionals in our area get. And then my other point is we have two boys that just went for college this year, a daughter that has already graduated and one daughter that's in elementary education right now. And our two boys came home and they said that they were appalled that all the years that they went through education, the teachers were in the classrooms working diligently, grading, teaching, and for what they got paid, they now went to college, and they said they're insulted that the professor walks up, tells them what to read and do, and then sits at the front of the class and reads a book, does virtually no work for as expensive as it is and the amount of money they pay. They said there's a huge disparity, and we know that the kids learn most of what they learn in their early childhood development years, yet as we, as a society in our education, we pay our early childhood development very little, and then we pay a little more for our grade school, a little more for the middle school, more for high school, and then the most for college. And it should actually be the other way around, because that's where we learn the most, that's where the most responsibility is, and the most amount of work is done. So I don't think our education system suffers for financial support. I just think we put it in the wrong place.
All right, Chubb, thanks for your comments.
Whoa, there's a lot there. I agree that we are profoundly underinvested in early care and education, and it has tremendous financial implications for all of us in that the most conservative estimates say that anywhere in their wide ranges, the Nobel Prize-winning economist James Heckman said that investment in early education is the smartest investment that we can make, that for every dollar we put in, we can save somewhere from $10 to $28 in social programs and remediation that would that we would be able to eliminate because we had children in safe places where they were stimulated, et cetera, and the kinds of situations that would help them develop their full potential. I agree. I don't think that there's actually much pay difference between, because it's standardized through the union, between elementary and high school. And I would argue that where there may be many shortcomings in pedagogy at the university level, you'll see variations from small four-year liberal arts colleges where the pressure to do research and to publish is not the same as it might be at a research institution. You'll see variations in the emphasis on teaching, although I think that you will see now the University of Wisconsin is engaged in a program to really recenter that, and we are examining the outcomes that our children need who come through any of our systems of higher education in Wisconsin and make sure that they have access to the best. But I'll tell you, both the kids who are in those university classrooms and the university professors who are leading it, we need top talent who are examining new ideas. As I said, the technology is changing, and we need to be on top of it, and we need to be developing the new ideas and the new technologies so that we have an economy that can grow. So it's that end of it is every bit as important as the beginning. And I think the summary statement is that we have to acknowledge that we are going to have to address how to ensure that all of our children have excellent early care birth to age 5. We will then have less money invested in remediation and social programs, and we will have a higher percentage of people well prepared for higher education, which this state's economy absolutely must have. We have simply got to increase the number of people who have advanced degrees, who have an associate or especially a baccalaureate degree. Our average wage is well behind our neighboring state, Minnesota, because we have so many fewer people packing a baccalaureate degree.
Thanks very much for the call, and we'll take more of them in a moment. We're happy to have Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton with us this hour, talking about the Wisconsin Task Force on Arts and Creativity. She and State Superintendent Elizabeth Burmaster got together a group of people to look at arts and creativity in classrooms all over the state of the Wisconsin. What are the state-level policies, the local practices to determine their impact on the scope and access to quality arts opportunities in Wisconsin? And they've come up with some recommendations and with an overall theme here that the arts have a potent effect on student achievement and engagement in school, not just in school, but way beyond school. So we're talking about that and how schools can make adjustments, how this can be taught, how important it may be to the workforce and also to the vitality of a school and a human being in the school. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Emails are open to you as well, and that's talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go back to phone calls to Ross from Door County next. Barbara. Hi, Ross.
Hi. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and thanks for generating this very important document. I really do appreciate your efforts. My question is regards licensing again. I have a master's degree from George Washington University in theater arts, and I would be interested in pursuing a career as a middle school or high school educator. And my question is about licensing. I was wondering if there might be a way to expedite the process. I'm aware that there are schools available for me to obtain my license, but I would have to go through much more schooling than I feel would be necessary. So I was hoping you would address that, if you would, please.
Oh, Ross, I think you raise an important question as we talk about how we have the highest level of instruction in these areas. But I am not an educator. If Superintendent Burmaster were here, I think she could address that for you, and I would direct you to the Department of Public Instruction with that question. And Kathleen, by the way, I said our website wrong. It's creative.wisconsin.gov.
Creative.wisconsin.gov. .gov. Okay.
Sorry. But yes, Roth, I mean, we don't want to lose that kind of talent, but there is this high standard of teaching, and as we know, that learning how to teach is not just being an expert in a discipline, but being an expert at conveying that information to children.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the call. Here's an email. Barbara, next week is the annual education convention in Milwaukee, sponsored by the Wisconsin Association of School Boards and the Wisconsin mm-hmm. Association of School District Administrators. Will there be any representation of the Wisconsin Task Force on Arts and Creativity in Education at this convention?
Now there will be. I don't know if there had been something planned, and I think that's a wonderful and an important suggestion. And we will check that out right away and even see if we could steal a few moments from the agenda, because I don't think there's very little that is more important than for us to consider our profound responsibility to make the changes that the times require. In fact, I think it's somewhere in the task force and something that I wrote, but I quoted Charles Landry, who's a business guru, and he points out that creativity, and I'm quoting him, is one of the last remaining legal ways to gain an unfair advantage over the competition. And really, when you think about it, our own Wisconsin Department of Tourism recently is in the midst of going through a rebranding, and they're building their brand platform on Wisconsin's identity historically is fostering a culture of original thinkers across economic sectors. This is who we are, and we need to reclaim it. And creativity is really, it's not only the bedrock of the arts, it's the renewable resource that is going to be the sustainable energy of this economy.
Right. Thanks very much for your call, Ross. And we go to Suzanne from Eau Claire next. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had a comment. I taught theater in the Lansing School District in Michigan, and it was a school to integrate arts into the curriculum. And I now teach here in Eau Claire, and I can tell you that there is a real difference between the students that I taught in Lansing and the students here as far as how they respond to questioning. I was used to students being very open, offering a lot because they had an arts experience. They had dance, theater, music twice a week, and art. And so it's just the students think so differently, and it's really needed here. And I have been trying to communicate this to teachers, and I get looked at like I have four heads. So I'm really glad to hear that this is where Wisconsin wants to head. Thanks.
Oh, Suzanne, this is something that is so important, and I'm so glad you called in, because this is, we held these 9 open forums across the state and one on public radio for those who couldn't attend. And we heard this from people who were in schools like the one you taught it in Michigan, who talked about if it was a school where the arts were integrated across disciplines and creativity was highly valued, that there was a whole different culture around it and a way that people interacted and of a speed or facility with which children learned. We also heard from employers who, when they looked at resumes and brought in people who had some very significant experience in the arts, that was an important thing to them, because then they would have people who would have the confidence to take risks. And it is in those kinds of experiences where they develop confidence to take on the unknown. And that's what we find in developing those creative capacities. This is our goal for all of Wisconsin's children.
Hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Suzanne, very much for the call. Let's go to Cheryl from Webster. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have actually a similar experience from the previous caller. I was a volunteer for an art club for elementary students here in Webster. And I am an artist, but I'm not an art teacher. So I kind of came to the whole thing new, but, you know, with a lot of enthusiasm. And I learned a lot, and I enjoyed myself. But what I was finding was that the kids were... It seemed like the art education was very focused on like what I would consider building blocks of visual arts, like negative space and mm-hmm. complementary colors and so on. And what I spent a lot of time with was kind of what I would consider the creative process, the idea of, you know, making decisions and taking risks and the idea that there is no mistakes, but you can choose not to like it, but you have the power to change it. And it was just completely new to them. And I was just wondering if there is a change coming down the road of how even art, because, you know, if you're going to have more art classes, but you're going to teach the same thing.
Exactly.
It may not be as effective as it could be. And it seems like the creative process could be taught easily throughout all the different curriculum. So that's my comment and my question as well. And I'll take my answer offline.
Thanks. I agree with you, and I think you raise a point. I don't know, maybe it was Todd or Greg before him who raised that. We all had good and bad math teachers and good and bad art teachers, but never before have we understood so well how important it is that this instruction is available to all children, integrated across disciplines, and well done. And as I said, we are looking at, when we go to the recommendations that came out of this task force, they include not only revising the way that we assess our students and the standards that we set, we want to look at their access to education in the arts and creativity. We had we ended our Creative Wisconsin Summit on Friday, where we released the task force report, already moving it into action with Creative Wisconsin pilot projects that are happening in six communities across the state. And here they brought together teams. They brought them to our summit on Friday, and they worked all day Friday and into Saturday. Teams that represented not only the education sector in the community, but business leadership and nonprofits and local elected officials. What we need is a community, our communities to come together. These groups are going to be creating models and ways that you can address this quickly without waiting for the statewide and national change, that we can move good ideas through the state of Wisconsin and begin to make these changes. But we must engage the entire community in it. That kind of transformation of our schools requires everybody's support and engagement. And that's what's so important. And these models and good ideas are going to be shared on that website on creative.wisconsin.gov. And we invite you to bring forward what you're doing in your community, because one of the things that was exciting about the task force was not only the broad engagement and interest in this across sectors, but the great discoveries of things that are happening already.
Mm-hmm. It's very exciting. All right, so if people want more, again, I don't think you can give us a website too much. creative.wisconsin.gov. .gov. And when you go there, Barbara, you'll find what?
You'll find the task force report and the recommendations, and then this will be the place where we begin to collect all of the best practices, et cetera. So it'll be a rich website, and it'll be an interactive one that we'll build as we go. We just launched it as we launched the task force report.
Mm-hmm. And are you launching any of the ideas in the Lieutenant Governor's office?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is, you know, that as both Lieutenant Governor, we're thinking about how we develop this state's economy and make sure that not only our traditional sectors are strong, but that we bring in the creative industries, because it's a site of growth for us, as well as a way that kind of innovative thinking sort of infects all of the other sectors. We're leading work on building the film and video game and TV ad production in the state of Wisconsin. We're working in many ways, but education is at the base of this.
Yes. Well, this was fun. I just think it's great when you move off into a creative new direction. Yeah, more power to all of the people who got together and want to increase creativity. It's great, Barbara.
Well, and it's exciting. You know, Oklahoma already has a Creative Oklahoma initiative, and some other states are doing work in this area. But none of them had a task force at that level where you had the administration through the Office of the Lieutenant Governor and the State Superintendent of Schools. Putting the locus where it's most important is thinking about the most difficult part, which is transforming our education system. So we're taking a national leading role here, and I'm proud of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Our guest, Barbara Lawton, Lieutenant Governor and one of the co-chairs of the Wisconsin Task Force on Arts and Creativity in Education. You can get their report, Creative.Wisconsin.Government. It's on the net. We thank her for that. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, and Rob Schroeder for helping out on production, and Rob Schroeder, who handled our many phone calls this hour. It's great to work for public radio when you get so many calls on this kind of subject and the phones are flooded. It makes you feel good to be here. Tomorrow, during this time period, Born to be Good, the Science of a Meaningful Life will be our topic. It's a really interesting book. And it started with the study of facial expressions and went on from there. So that's coming up tomorrow during the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Kathleen Dunn. It's a minute before 10 right now, or 11 right now. And you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.